America After Obama, this Black History Month, the legacy of our first African-American president. Tonight's cover story, WGN TV News at 9. Check it out.
Liars, fake news. There was no Obama. Thanks, Obama. Actually, every time Donald Trump does something, I always want to post the thanks Obama hashtag. Because I think it's his fault that he's I don't know. I got to blame somebody.
Yeah.
It's just it's 8 years of blaming him, so why not just continue to blame
him? Keep
going. All right. On the Super Celebrity Hotline right now, he is Congressman Adam Kinzinger. He is the congressman for the Illinois Rowan Anna Congressional District. That's the most important thing. That's how we do. And also in the studio with us, as you two gentlemen know each other, Ambassador Bruce Hayman, formerly the ambassador to Canada from the United States.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
So, all right, well, Congressman, let me start with you. There's been some action up on Capitol Hill you might have seen today. And first, I want to get you to weigh in on the travel ban and how you feel about the notion of this, and you could do this from both sides. I mean, obviously, you're very familiar with security issues as an Air Force officer when you're not being a congressman, and some of the other work that you do up on Capitol Hill. Do you think A, that this travel ban is an appropriate thing, and do you think it's going to make it through the courts?
Well, first off, I just saw the ambassador a month or so ago in Canada. Did a great job for us, so thank you for your service, ambassador. And in terms of the travel ban, I have two kind of views on it, and they're consistent, believe it or not. The first view is, look, a new president does have a right to take a look and say, hey, we want to make sure that the vetting procedures are correct. And I think that's okay to do. The rollout of this was terrible. The execution was terrible. And, you know, for instance, I just met an hour and a half ago with the Iraqi ambassador, and he said, you know, look, he said, we're taking the vast majority of casualties as your ally in Iraq against Daesh. You know, we're taking this fight. And he goes, there's basically three feelings in Iraq because of this, obviously stemming from disappointment. But he goes, the scariest is there are some people that are jubilant about it because they want the U.S.-Iraqi relationship to fall apart. And so, you know, I think the messaging obviously was executed in haste and is bad. And, you know, my concern is, again, while we have every right to look at how we vet, and that's fine, the concern is this can be used to do exactly what ISIS wants, which is to recruit and say, look, this is, you know, the West is against Muslims and somebody on the verge of that. Does it survive in the court? I think it could. Well, I don't know if it does because the Ninth Circuit's pretty liberal, but I ultimately think the president should have a lot of latitude in terms of determining how, you know, we vet refugees, how we do national security. But in terms of whether it survives, that's people that watch the courts closer than me to predict that.
Yeah. Do you think that one way out of this is to reissue it and then it's all over?
Yeah.
And I'm sort of surprised they didn't, because you have a couple things here that seem to be what's getting caught in the gears here are the words of the president himself when he was a candidate and even as president to the Christian Broadcasting Network about preferential treatment to Christians. And the idea, and then within the verbiage itself, offering, you know, religious minority groups, which, in, you know, in Syria, that could be the Alawites. The Alawites are a minority, and that is the sect of Bashar al-Assad, the dictator there. Right. So, I mean, it's overbroad, and it does seem to be. Does it make you uncomfortable at all, Congressman, that there seems to be an intent here which has he wants political impact. He wants to be able to say to his greatest adherents, listen, this is, I promised you I was going to do this. This is the way we're going to be able to do it for now. Trust me, Rudy Giuliani told you what I needed him to tell you, which was I wanted a Muslim ban, but I can't get it. Here's what I'm going to get. I mean, it's kind of what's happening here. And there's real diplomacy and there's real business at risk here. I'm sure that you've heard from businesses in your district. You have big ones that are concerned about this.
Yeah, and that's true. And, you know, the Iraqi ambassador talked about there's, you know, I think GE, for instance, has $1.5 billion contract with Iraq that's at threat. So, you know, it's one thing to follow through on political campaign promises, which is important for a new president to do. It's another thing, though, you've got to be careful in the execution. And when you put somebody like Iraq in the same boat as you put Syria or as you put Somalia, which Somalia is a truly failed state, great people there, but failed state, it can create problems with our allies. So again, while I say the president has every right to take a look at our you know, how we're vetting refugees, how we're doing that program, as a new administration would and should, I think the execution of this was poorly timed. And I think as close as to an admission from the White House as you'll get, you seem to have gotten.
Talk about Obamacare, because I think there's so much hanging in the balance there, uncertainty about what's to come. I know tonight we've been talking that the CNN is doing a face-off with Senator Cruz and Bernie Sanders, debating the future of Obamacare, which apparently a third of the American public doesn't know that the Affordable Care Act is exactly Obamacare. A lot of uncertainty moving forward. You heard some conservative groups say that if you don't repeal it, then you've let down your entire base, because that's one of the things you promise. And yet a lot of people saying that might not be the smart way to go about it, might not even be a possible way to go about doing this.
Well, I always say let's do whatever's going to help people, right? And so in terms of, you know, how does that look, that's the answer we need. Here's the physical difficulty of what's going on right now. To repeal takes 51 votes. To replace takes 60 votes. And, you know, anybody that believes we're going to get 8 Democrats in the Senate for a full repeal bill, I think, you know, given what we've been seeing in the last few weeks, we're not getting along very well, so it's probably pretty low of a chance. So right now the committees, including my committee, are working on what replacement looks like. The vehicle is in place for repeal, so it's something called budget reconciliation. Hasn't been executed yet. We're going to do this right. We're going to take a look at it and ultimately make the healthcare system better for the American people. And that's going to be the focus. Now, if somebody wants a 3,000-page replacement bill to roll out right now, that's what we're not going to do, because that's been kind of the problem with what happened with the healthcare law in the first place. But I think, you know, the fact that this is taking a little bit longer, I think, goes to show that we're putting the effort in to do this the right way, because we understand there's a lot of people that are going to be affected.
Are you getting the sense that from your leadership in the House side, are you getting the sense that there is good understanding in the White House of what Congress needs here? Because Congress has, you know, it's separate and equal branch of government, but the legislative branch is. But there's another important thing, too, is that every one of you guys in the House is up in 18. And
yeah,
there has to be some consideration, and you're fundraising now. There has to be some consideration for the party itself, and there doesn't seem to be a ton of that. And Paul Ryan's got two jobs. He's Captain Policy Wonk, right? He's got the W right on his chest. It might be Wisconsin, but I think it's Wonk. And he is, and so he wants to do that. You know, I mean, I think he enjoys this process part, but he also gets that he's got members that he needs to protect here. Do you get the sense that he's able to communicate that safely to the White House?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, look, again, the White House is 2 weeks into it. I think from the transition point, they started a little behind. And right now, obviously, getting these appointments through the Senate has taken way longer than we had hoped. As they're standing up their operations, we are getting the impression, though, that, you know, leadership's been very clear. We're waiting for some guidance, too, from the White House in terms of how they want to proceed. But, you know, look, there's a lot of and it works for the other side politically a lot. There's a lot of hysteria being built that, you know, we're going to rip insurance away from 30 million people. That's not going to happen. So everybody needs to, I think, take a deep breath. We're going to try to do this. Well, we are going to do this the right way. We're going to figure out what that looks like, see what we can actually do politically, and see how we can make this healthcare experience better for people than what they've had.
All right. Ambassador, do you agree with everything the congressman just said?
Everything.
You know, I would not want to go against the congressman here on this station.
Very diplomatic of you.
I think he was very diplomatic in the way he answered a lot of your questions.
Yeah,
so,
very good, this,
you know,
this congressman.
I enjoyed spending time with you in Halifax. And,
it was great.
I think you have a very good handle and perspective on the challenges that we're facing. And the opportunity.
Thank you. And again, thank you for your service.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thanks.
All right. Okay, you too. Congressman, thank you very much. We'll speak with you.
Thanks, guys.
At some future date. It's probably tomorrow. Thank you. Goodbye.
All right. See you guys. Take care.
Bye.
All right. Ambassador, stay right here. We do want to talk about the relationship with Canada and AFTA and all of that. It's an honor to have you in the studio with us. So we appreciate you spending this amount of time with us. The former ambassador to Canada from the United States, Bruce Hayman, who, by the way, also just happens to be a Chicagoan.
How
look at
cool
that.
Is that?
So and he was just told to come back to Chicago by the president of the United States. So it worked out perfectly.
Not a bad place to be.
Exactly.
City of Chicago.